Okay, you should have a sermon outline there. I think it's on the back of your bulletin, and if you all cooperate with me, I will follow it. And I wrote a short sermon. I don't know if it'll come out short, but I did write a short one. It depends on you all. Praise God. It's good when you can blame somebody else, you know. It's really, really good. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, challenge each one of us to move from where we are to where it is you would have us be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, saints, title of today's message is The Power of Faith When the Odds Are Against You. How many of you know that everybody here is going to face a situation in which the odds are going to be against you? Anybody here ever studied for a test only to get to the test and discover nothing you studied is on that exam? Anybody ever had to go play against another team and you knew before you stepped on the field what the score was going to be at the end of the game? Any of you ever went into for a job interview only to discover what they were looking for was way beyond your capacity? I can remember when Lotus 1-2-3 first came out. For those of you who are computer buffs, this one guy, he went in for an interview and they asked him, did he know Lotus 1-2-3? He said he knew Lotus 1, but he was still working on 2 and 3. For those of you who aren't computer buffs, Lotus 1-2-3 is the name of the whole program. Sometimes it doesn't do good to try to impress people when you don't know anything. But even on a more serious level, has anybody here ever had somebody walk out on you and left you in a terrible financial mess and you didn't know how you were going to make it? Anybody ever walked into a doctor's office and heard the words, there's not much more that we can do? At the dentist's office, even. All of us one day are going to have the odds stacked against us. And we need to know in advance, how is it going to affect our faith? How is it going to determine the course of our lives? Now, I want you to imagine with me for a moment what it must have been like for Peter the Apostle in our New Testament reading. When we read Acts chapter 5, everybody wants to be like Peter. Peter is a powerful preacher for God. He's laying hands on people, and as he lays hands on people, they're being healed left and right. Peter has such an anointing on him that as he's walking down the street, people are putting sick people just that his shadow might fall over them. And Peter is just doing all these great and wonderful things for God, and then he gets the news that one of his closest friends and buddies, James, had been arrested. You remember James? Remember what it was always? Peter, James, and John that did something with Jesus. It's Peter, James, and John. Well, not only has James been arrested, Peter gets the news that James has been killed by Herod. And if that wasn't bad enough news, word on the street was Herod was coming after Peter next. And before Peter could escape, the soldiers arrived and came and put him in jail. Now, can you imagine what the odds are? Well, they took away Jesus and he got crucified. They took away James and he got executed. They now got me. What do you think he's thinking is going to happen to him? And when the soldiers did come and get Peter and arrested him, they were going to have a trial, but you know what it's like to have a trial, and on the outside of the room, they've already got the guillotine and the person ready for you right when you come through. You don't even really need to stop. Just walk through one door of the building and just keep going to the other. Well, there is Peter sitting in jail knowing that when morning comes, he'd probably be executed. The odds are against him. He is in chains. He's got a soldier on the left, a soldier on the right. He's got two soldiers that are guarding the gate. And even if by some miraculous way he could escape from the jail, he still couldn't get out of town because the city gates were locked. The odds were against him and there was no way out. But how many of you know when the odds are against you, God still has something else to say about the matter. Now, the good news we have as Christians is that no matter how bleak our situation may look, nothing that happens to us ever catches God by surprise. God is never in heaven saying, "Oh my goodness, come over here, look what happened. Can you believe this?" God is never caught by surprise when something comes into my life. God never goes into panic. "Oh my goodness, what am I going to come up with a plan for the rest of the day? I hadn't imagined this thing was going to happen with me." God is never surprised by what happens to me. Say that with me. God is never surprised by what happens to me. Now, every time the odds are against us, it is a time to utilize our faith. Now, I guarantee you, every one of us here has gone through something that we didn't know how we were going to make it, but we made it to the other side. And whether we choose to give God the credit for it or not, God saw to it that we made it to the other side. You see, the God we serve is so good and so awesome that we don't even have to be saved for God to do things in our lives. Those favors are there to lead us closer to God, not to have us think we are confident that God is pleased with what we're doing. No, God is just loving. You can be the worst sinner in the world and wake up tomorrow and find yourself being blessed by God. Now, there was a king by the name of King Joram. His parents had been King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Now, that should let you know right from the beginning that he probably wasn't living for the Lord. The odds were against him in the form of the king of Aram. The king of Aram was determined to destroy Joram and his kingdom, but God had other things in mind. You see, nothing can happen to us without the knowledge of God. That doesn't mean that God intends for everything that happens to happen. No, because sin is in the world, we are all going to have some unjust things that happen in our lives. How many of you know life is not fair? We live in a fallen world, but God still has the power when the odds are against us. Now, the king of Aram would make these great strategic military plans to ambush the king of Israel. But each time the king of Aram made plans to destroy the army, God would tell Elisha about the plan. And Elisha would tell King Joram, "By the way, king, if I were you, I would not send my troops down such and such a path." The king listened to him. The army would escape. It happened again and again and again. And each time, the king of Israel, Joram, was smart enough to listen to what the prophet had to say. That is why we as Christians, we don't need to go to palm readers. We don't need to go to tarot cards. We don't need to go to crystal balls and all that other stuff. Why? Because if God wants us to know the future, God is able to tell it to us with 100% accuracy. God was so reliable with the information, the king of Aram thought one of his generals was a spy leaking information to the king's enemies. Today, he would have thought somebody had either bugged the conference room or somebody was sending out text messages. But anyways, he got so angry, he was so furious, he called all the generals together and he says, "Now listen, before we leave out of this room, we're going to find out which one of y'all is betraying us, and you are going to have your head cut off." And the general said, "Oh, king, all of us here are with you. All of us got your back. But we got reports that Elisha tells what you say, what you whisper in your very bedroom." Now, that got the king's attention. He knows that much. King of Aram said, "Find out where he is. Let's go get him and take him out." They found out that Elisha was in the city of Dothan. The king of Aram sent his troops by night, and they completely surrounded the city because it was one of the smaller cities in Israel. Now, you would have thought that if God had been telling Elisha when the king was going to show up and he was relaying this information to the king of Israel, that God should have told him, Elisha, by 6 o'clock, get your behind out of Dothan because the king is coming to look for you. But God didn't do that. God wants us to know that sometimes a bad change in our lives of circumstances is just where God needs us to be in order to come through in a miraculous way for us when the odds are against us. You see, the power of faith is really only traded when there is a need for it to be displayed. Most of the time, we want to figure out how everything is going to work out before we talk about having faith to do it. We forget that the scripture says faith is being sure of what we hope for, not what we already have. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Because sometimes what we don't see is of far greater value than what we can see. Now, no matter what you attempt to do, there are always going to be some odds against you. And if you try to wait to take care of all of the odds, how many of you know you're not going to accomplish very much in life? Sometimes you just got to take a step and go ahead and move and see how God is going to come through with the rest of it. God has authority over all of your odds. Now, the king of Aram thought he was in charge when he surrounded that small city of Dothan. And when the sun came up that morning, when you woke up and you looked out there, you sitting in a valley and around the mountains, and you see all these enemy troops, what do you think you would feel that morning? You woke up and saw tanks surrounding your house, guns withdrawn. Well, when Elisha's servant saw the Aramean army, he almost panicked. He cried out, Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? They got us for good this time. Elisha says, brother, don't be afraid. We got more on our side than they have on theirs. You know what it really means to say that God is on our side? It means that we win no matter what. It means that God is going to provide us with the resources to get done all that God wants to get done. It does not mean God is going to do all that we want God to do. As followers of Jesus Christ, our faith leads us to say, yes, Lord, whatever you ask of me, I will do it. Now, how many of you know that's different than saying, I command you, Jesus, to provide for me at this level in my life? There are some Christians who think we got the right to demand that God does such and such for us. Our ultimate goal should be to be found pleasing in God's sight. And that comes about by keeping our faith in God, even when the odds are against us. Because, my friends, there are going to be times when you feel completely surrounded by your circumstances. Some of you have already been there before. It might be a problem in your family. It could be a problem in your finances. It could be a problem with your friends. It could be with a sickness, a problem with addiction. Every time the odds are against you, you have to allow the power of faith to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. For Jesus is still our hope. And we keep our eyes on Jesus, not by saying, oh, there he is. No. We keep our eyes on Jesus by recognizing, here Jesus is. Let me get as close to him as I possibly can. And what he would be doing, let me make sure I use him to allow him to use me in order to do it. Now, you may be saying, but Pastor Rick, you don't see my situation like I see it. And I say, you're absolutely right. And I also say, you do not see your situation like God sees it either. God uses those odds to bring us closer to God. Now, Elisha's servant could not believe that he would say something as dumb as, "Don't be afraid. We got more on our side than they have on theirs." He could look outside the city and see for himself on the other side of the wall, there were more enemy troops on the outside than there were people on the inside. And not only that, those people on the outside were armed soldiers trained for battle. I can imagine them looking funny at Elisha and saying, "You know, brother, I don't mean no disrespect, but are you crazy?" Now, some of you have looked at us with that same look in our Excelling in Giving campaign with the same expression. "Pastor Rick, Pastor Tope, Pastor Kelly, I know y'all mean well and got a good heart, but are y'all crazy? Don't you know we're in the midst of a recession and you asking for a financial sacrifice? Don't you know we didn't get a big raise last year?" Meanwhile, what are we doing? We're still eating 3 meals a day, watching our 200 channels on TV, going to see the Cavs and Browns, driving our fine cars, looking just as sharp and clean as forever. It's amazing how we choose to see what we want to see about our situation. Is there anybody here willing to pray that the Lord would change their ability to just see how blessed they truly are? Elisha chose to focus his sight on what the Lord could do rather than fearing what the king of Aram might do. Elisha prayed, "Lord, will you open his eyes so that he can see what I see?" And the servant is looking, and all of a sudden his eyes are opened up, and he looks on these mountains, and he sees all these chariots of fire full of horses and angels just ready to go to battle. My friends, when we are determined to live for the Lord, we are never alone. God's got angels that are willing to camp around you when God knows that you need it. God's got somebody looking out for you and your kids. Your husband may be gone, your wife may be gone, but you're still not in this battle alone. Others may think, "You know, boy, there ain't no way out of this mess." But they don't see with the same kind of eyes that you see with. Just because others may be planning your disaster and your failure, that don't mean it's going to happen. The odds may be that are against us. When we look at them from God's viewpoint, they become smaller and smaller and smaller. Elisha's servant's heart went from fear and despair to hope and excitement. He just couldn't wait to see what all God was going to do that morning. He was so excited because he knew victory was assured. Now his circumstances hadn't changed. The Aramean army was still surrounding the city. However, his willingness to have his eyes open to the spiritual realm changed what he was able to see. It takes courage sometimes to say, "Lord, open my eyes and let me see this situation entirely different from how I've been seeing it." We also have to allow God to work in us, in the situation, in the way that God wants to handle it. Most of the time, most of us want God to change the circumstance. We want God to change the other person. We do not want God to intervene and talk about changing us and how we see the circumstances. Anybody here besides me been having to deal with somebody that you just knew was absolutely wrong? Some of y'all have. And you discovered that you didn't quite see it like it could have been seen. And that if you just adjusted you a little bit, whole big old argument could have been avoided. But I'm sure that don't happen to y'all. Now, if we had been in charge of that army of chariots, we would have told God, "Let them angels loose and wipe every last one of them out. How dare they come and do this to me?" But sometimes God wants to do a work in those who are causing us the havoc. And did you ever think that God just might want to use you to reach that person who's really getting on your nerves? Some of us already praying, not me, Lord, not me, not me. It takes the power of faith to say, yes, God, use me to bless those who are hurting me. You know, the number one prayer request that came across in our prayer vigil was, God, help us to get along in my family. Why do we need to get along with our families? Probably because everybody in the family want things their way. And if y'all would just make it my way, boy, this would be a wonderful family to be a part of. And God is saying, I want you to take the power of faith to open your eyes to see how are you contributing to this mess. And even if you think you're not, you are. But I'll keep going because it's supposed to be a short sermon. Elijah is not going to seek his enemy's destruction, but rather their salvation. The Arameans are ready to blow the horn to announce the start of the battle. And as they come charging toward the city, Elijah says one prayer, Lord, strike these soldiers with blindness. And the Lord did. And instantly, the soldiers were blinded. But they weren't blinded literally. They were blinded in that they could not see reality as it was. And Elijah steps in front of him and says, fellas, y'all got the wrong place. I know who you're looking for. Just follow me and I'll take you right to him. They all line up behind him and start marching. And he leads them all the way to the city of Samaria. Now, Samaria is the capital city. It is where the royal troops are stationed. They march right into the gate, right into the middle of the city. The Israelite army has now completely engulfed them. And Elisha says, open their eyes, Lord. They open their eyes like, here I am, what y'all want with me? How would you have felt if you were an Aramean and you look and you see you are completely surrounded by the enemy, outmanned, outgunned, in a walled city with no way to get us to escape? My friends, God can change odds far quicker than we think. Now let me ask you this, though. What is your attitude when God changes the odds in your favor against the opposition? Are you ready to really let them have it? Or do you remember the words of Jesus who said, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know, whenever we talk about the odds being against us, there's always somebody in the church who's got the odds in their favor, but they're using those odds in the wrong way. And you need to recognize that one day, you may find yourself at the mercy of those whom you are abusing and misusing. It could be on the job. It can be in the home. It can be at the church. Because God is able to bring about justice in ways that we never would imagine. Today, you may need the power of faith to bring about an admission of guilt and a willingness to repent and ask Jesus, Jesus, help me escape from what I've been doing. Now, when the king of Israel saw the army of his enemy at his mercy, he was ready to wipe them all out. He knew this was the army that had caused him all the pain and headache and had killed some of his troops. And the only thing he could possibly think of was, let me just wipe every one of them out right now. And he asked Elisha, my father, shall I take them out by killing them all right now? And Elisha says, no. Give them all the food and the drink that they need and send them back on their way to their king. Now, how many of you know it took everything within King Joram to follow this decision? Some of us would have said, Elisha, go to the back room. I'll talk to you later. You know, it takes courage to do what is right when everything inside of you is saying, no, now is the time to get even. Now is the time to get back. If you had been the king of Aram and the king of Israel safely returned the troops to you, what would you have done? We'd like to think that the king of Aram would have just fallen down and said, thank God for the mercy, the grace, and all of this. But he didn't. He stopped raiding for about a couple of months, and then within the year, he had sent the troops and completely surrounded the city of Samaria, and the people were starving to death inside. Had Elisha been wrong in not wiping out the army? No, because he did what God told him to do. There are some things the Lord is going to tell us to do, and it doesn't look like they came out right with the passing of time. But how many of you know, we have to remember, everything is not over yet. God is still at work for God's plans and God's purposes. And the power of faith causes us to recognize that God does not always do the same thing for his children. I can't tell you why he let James be executed, why he let Jesus be crucified, and then when it came to Peter, God sends an angel into the same prison cell that James had been in, but he comes in, the angel comes into Peter and says, get up, let's walk out of this place. And he does. Chains fall out, doors, locks popping left and right. They walk right out of the city, the gate doors open, and the angel says, okay, brother, you're on your own, get out of here. I don't know why God does that, but I do know God loved James just as much as God loved Peter. And God may not deliver you in the same way as you saw God work in someone else, but be encouraged. Know that even though the odds are against you, God still wants to draw you into a deeper relationship with him, because ultimately that's what's going to matter. I close with these words from James in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 in the Message Bible. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you may become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who is never surprised by what happens to us. But God, you're always dropping surprises in our lives and bringing us through situations we didn't even think we were going to be able to get through. Lord, when the odds are against us, help us to love and to serve you just as faithfully as when everything else is going our way. Forgive us, O God, for not allowing you the opportunity to work in our hearts to change us, rather than just praying, God, change this situation, change this circumstance. Open our eyes to see the spiritual power that is available to us as individuals and as a church, that we might say yes to your will, yes to your way, that you may be glorified in and through us. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it.